Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, October the 16th, 1983. God bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God.
Bible, one that has, and I hope all of you have your Bibles with you, and turn to Psalms 119. Read Psalms 119, verse 97 to 104 inclusive. Psalms 119, 97 to 104 inclusive. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, while they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Let's go in prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, this Sabbath day. We thank you this day that's been set aside that we might find ourselves in the Lord's house. And we pray that each and every one here today that gets a blessing being in the Lord's house. And we pray the ones that haven't accepted thee, we pray their heart will be touched by the messenger's message this morning through his words that will touch their hearts and cause them to come to accept thee before it's ever life is too late. And the Father, we pray that you will look and see if you haven't accepted the Lord, that you are bound to the place that's so evil, and that's where we will suffer the remainder of our days. We thank for our Son to go on the cross and prepare the place for prepared people. And if you're not prepared, your name will not be on the list. We pray for the sick and afflicted, especially the sin sick that's round about us. We pray their heart to be touched, and someone has called them to come to thee before it's too late. Pray the ones that lost loved ones, pray their families will be strengthened by someone's love, and the God of love will help lead them to their path. We pray that we will walk close to thee every day through our remainder of these days while we are here. We pray for Brother James and his family, for his concern about the lost one in this community, that they may come to know thee before too late. We pray the ones in the hospital, ones in the nursing home, we pray their hearts be touched with some love from someone that calls them to know they are welcome what time they hear. Because someday we may be payday for us, and how sweet it is if we can have our names placed upon the Lamb's Book of Life, where we can go to home that will be the more suffering, the more worried. Heavenly Father, we thank for that arrangement that has been made, is what we can depend on. Go through this remainder of this service and forgive us where we have failed. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Oh, sometimes we lead through water deep, like a cross the wind. Oh, sometimes the path seems rough and steep. See his footprints all the Jesus, we have seen.
labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name. Brother Ray, would you come and share with us the testimony, brother? I was over visiting with them yesterday afternoon, and thank the Lord for Ray and saying that he's taken there where he works. Oh, God's blessing him and supplying his needs.
Just thankful and happy to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for asking me to come and speak a word for the Lord Jesus. Thank him most of all that as a young teenage boy, I was born the first time to Kenneth and Lola Hoskins in Combs, Kentucky, and I praise God I've been born the second time of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ at mid-1950s, at a time when I had planned to be Kentucky State High School basketball tournament. That was in the heydays of the years of Johnny Cox, if any of you remember, basketball star that was raised up, became an All-American at the University of Kentucky. Hazard was first in state that year, and I planned fully to be at that state high school basketball tournament as a teenage boy. God saw different, saw fit things to be different. I believe with all my heart that was because folks were praying for me. I just had some strange notion to stay and attend a little revival meeting that was going on in the United Methodist Church down at Combs, Kentucky. Back when I don't mean to sound derogatory, but that's back when Methodist folks preached the gospel, preached that hell was hot, sinners was lost in going there, but they were without Christ. And that night, as I sat in the back row, on the left, it would be on the right-hand side from where I was sitting, it was the left-hand side, but it was on the right-hand side of the auditorium, in the back seat. God gripped my heart with conviction about midweek of that revival service. And I thought if I didn't come to Christ, my heart literally burst. And I stood and gripped that seat, and they sang all night, seemed like. Praise God, I came and knelt a little spot right about to the right of the podium, about where that flower stand sitting. Called out to the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sin. Didn't want to die and go to hell. God saved my soul that night. And I didn't know much about the Scripture. Even though I'd been in Sunday school all my life, I knew a lot of Bible verses, but didn't know God. Didn't know much about the Scripture. Even though, as I said, I knew a lot of Bible verses. But I knew one thing. I knew I went home that night, spoke to my dear old granny, who's now gone home to be with the Lord, told her she needed to get saved. She needed to come to know the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, those of us that try to win souls for the Lord Jesus, we skip over verse 12 many times when we quote Romans 10:9-10, says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, if God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we skip from going to verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But verse 12 says, but whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Now, it didn't say he shouldn't be ashamed. It said he shall not be ashamed. A man becomes born again of the Spirit of God, he'll want to tell somebody. He'll have to tell somebody. He said, because he'll not look ashamed. But I began to walk with the Lord there for a period of years. About, didn't seem like it was over 6 or 8 months till the Scripture really began to become alive in my life and work in force. And God began to deal with me, began to pray about young folks and about work with the young people in the church, me just a teenager myself. And I just all but feel the arm of the Lord around me, wooing me into the teaching and preaching ministry. But it wasn't long then till clothes and cars and a job come along. Got my driver's license. And all the wounds of the cares of the world began to creep in on this little young teenage boy. And not being grounded and rooted in the Word, never have someone that took the Bible and showed me that I had eternal salvation. I was still depending somewhat that I really needed to stay so close to the Lord. And every time I'd have the least little sin problem pop up in my life, it'd just tear me to pieces. So finally, teenagers, I'd like to say, young people, I'd like to say this to you this morning. Back then, the thing that God broke my heart the worst about, the most, in the very first days of my Christian walk was this. Coca-Cola's and a drive-in restaurant, a little place called Smiley's. It's now a motel up on the right just before you go into town on Wednesday nights. I knew that theater picture shows were sinful, most of what you saw there, and I didn't dare go to those. But I'd go up there on Wednesday night, I'd go on Monday night and Tuesday night after I get off from work, drive around, as the custom was in those days. God just broke my heart about Wednesday night. She said, this is Wednesday night. There's prayer meeting going on. You've been attending. The Holy Spirit speaking in my heart. And I'd go to church on Sunday, and I'd just choke up and couldn't hardly pray, couldn't hardly talk, and hardly lead young people. I'd repent of that thing and get it right. Give up a little girlfriend because she wouldn't come to church with me. God bring me somebody by, and the next thing you know, they wouldn't go to church, and I'd give them up, and the devil would bring a prettier one, you know. You know how that goes. First thing you know, it was no longer Wednesday nights at the drive-in restaurant. It was Saturday night over at the drive-in theater. Next thing you know, it was the back row on Sunday night. And I'll stop right there, lest it become the sound that I'm glorying in my sin, and God forbid. God forbid. Because my life became in such a backslidden condition that I almost became an alcoholic. At the age of about 21, I was drinking a tremendous amount of alcoholic beverages, was miserable, committing gross acts of sin such as David, the king of Israel, did when he took Uriah, the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba. God began to deal with me because I'd begin to walk out of the realm of the flesh, or spirit, and into the realm of the flesh, and God began to chasten this flesh of his son. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you go to the Bible and read chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. Verse 5, he says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. The Bible plainly teaches there, and in the book of Psalms in chapter 89, beginning about verse 30, about how God will correct his children. And folks, I tell you today, if you've sinned and if you're walking out of fellowship with God and there's no chastisement in your life, check upon your salvation. It just may be that you believed in vain, that you believed the false gospel. But God began to deal with me and chasten me, and I'll hurry lest I get into Brother Hamlin's time. But I say this morning, I believe in divine appointments. I don't believe that I just came here by chance. If Brother Hamlin came down to my mom's and dad by chance yesterday, I believe there's somebody here today that God's speaking to, and this testimony could mean a tremendous turning point in your life to whether or not you'd not have to go through some of the things that I went through with to be brought back to full fellowship. I thank God, I praise God, I'm walking fellowship with him today, and it's sweet. It wasn't like all those years when I was trying to take money and women and whiskey and Cadillacs and replace happiness. No, God's give me more of the things that I sought after now that I no longer seek after than I could ever muster and conjure up then. But it's for 10 years, God worked with me, and every 2 years he dealt with me in the flesh. And I'll not go into all of them. But in 1973, after having been backslidden for about 15 years, about 17 years really, God been dealing with me severely for 10 years, every 2 years. In April of 1973, I was in an automobile accident. Called my mother and father to come to Dayton, Ohio, to Mount Valley Hospital. I was laying there with blood internally. It wasn't cut on the outside. The doctor said when they stuck a knife in, it's just like Old Faithful. They thought they was going in to remove my spleen, but they cut a third of my liver out and threw it away. 1973, they didn't know what it was, hardly to cut somebody's liver off and see them live. I was moaning and groaning, complaining about the tubes. They had tubes in me everywhere you could get some, and they made some places where there wasn't some. And he said, well, you ought not complain. He said, you ought just be thankful the tubes kept you alive for the last few days. He didn't know that it wasn't a tube, but it was God. Praying folks down on their knees. But God had a purpose for allowing this young fellow to live who was no longer as young. At that time, I was 33 years old. So I come home from the hospital. Some 12 days later, I was able. The doctor said, you're only about one out of two that makes it off the surgery table. Every other one dies with what we just did to you. And he said, about one out of ten make it from here on, when I was complaining about the tubes. But 12 days later, praise God, I got up had enough strength to shave, put on a suit and tie necktie and walk out of that hospital. But I still wasn't right with God. I had four broken ribs and a nose messed up. I'd worked on it in that same operation. I got home and was miserable. God began to deal in my life, began to work, and I got under conviction. I forgot about the soreness of the ribs, forgot about the scar and everything else. Book of Ruth came on TV. It was going to be shown at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that same urgency down in my heart that was in my heart when I got saved down in Combs, I told my mother, I said, I'm going to bed, but you get me up. My mama come to wait on me there. I'd divorced. Had my children at home with me and was trying to raise two young children, one a preteen and the other a teenager. And I thought, I said, you get me up come 1 o'clock. I want to watch that. And I said, the condition my life was in, that was the grace of God working in my life then. I got up and began to watch it. As the story unveiled on television, I thought, I said, that's just not exactly the way the Bible reads, I don't think. And I reached up and got my Bible and got in there. I said, now you watch the film and I'm going to read and let's compare. I see how God began to deal in the life of a fellow by the name of Roger Hooper that was the day shift worker at Frigidaire at that time. I was a foreman on the day shift and he was on the second shift. He came to my house about 3 days later and witnessed to me about the grace of God in his life, how that God had saved him from a life of alcohol. He had lost one home and family and was about ready to lose his second. God reminded me, I told him then, I had to give him a testimony, how that one day I'd walk with God, what God had done in my life. He said, well, I've got good news for you. He said, the Bible said in John 10:28. He didn't say that, but he opened the Bible to John 10:28 and read to me. He said that if my sheep know me, they'll hear my voice and they'll not follow nothing. You know what the Word of God says there. And he confirmed to me and showed me that I had not lost my salvation. I was just out of fellowship with God and needed to get back right with God. And if I do that, God was willing to forgive, set me free from all that I've been held captive by. Well, I didn't make that decision right that minute. I later on went down to the bathroom to take a shower. Conviction got so bad, at the time I got out of the shower, I was weeping. I kneeled down beside the commode and I said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go if it means selling this house. I've almost made a god out of them, worship. I remodeled the house tremendously. Doing everything I could to run from God. Didn't realize what was wrong, but I was running from God. I said, I'll sell it and go to the blackest part of Africa and preach your word if that's what you want. You know, I didn't realize at that time. I'd forgot all about God wooing me into the teaching, preaching ministry of his word years ago. I didn't cry out for God to save me, even though I'd been raised in a church and been under the teaching somewhat that leans a little bit toward Arminianism, toward somewhat of work for salvation. God reminded me not long after that how that I'd brought a message to teenagers up in Hazard from John chapter 15 about I am the fathers of vine and I'm your branches. And I told the Lord that day that I'd go wherever he wanted me to go. And that same sweet peace rushed back into my heart that I'd had when I walked with him and served him when I first got saved. And I've been trying to tell folks about him ever since. I've not had to go to Africa yet. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But he led me to be the mission chairman at Moraine Heights Baptist Church for about 5 or 6 years. That's about as close as he's led me that far. Now, since then, we've moved to Waynesville, Ohio, and are helping Pastor Greg Davis to try to establish an independent local New Testament, fundamental independent missionary Baptist church there in Waynesville. And we covet your prayers. And I pray today that if you're here and you're out of the will of God, if you've been running from God and you're backslid, that you'll just surrender your all. He said if you'd confess your sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's his word, not mine. He's the one that's faithful. And I thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Pastor, for being patient with me.
Amen.
We do appreciate this testimony. We know God still is in the bringing back business. Brother Combs quotes a verse sometimes that in the Bible it said he's married to the backslider. And
If we used to love the Lord more than we love Him now, we don't need to ask who moved. We have. We need to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Today we'd like to look in the Bible, the verses Brother Sutton read for us, as well as some here in the book of Philippians and elsewhere, as we speak on how is our thought life. You know, we are what we think. You and I cannot rise any higher than we think. How is our thought life? Today the Bible tells us how we should think and what we should think and many other things about thinking. And our key verse is going to be found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And two other verses found in the book of Psalms says, in chapter 139 and verses 23 and 24, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting." Someone said it like this: sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character, reap a destiny. Did you know what? That all began with a thought. We are what we think. We are what we think. Jesus said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts and our thoughts. And I'm glad today the Lord knows our hearts. He knows the needs that we have today. That first verse that Brother Sutton read for us in Psalm 119 says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I have an illustration book at home that says one of the illustrations was about thoughts. Our thoughts make us. They are the silent builders of the temple of character we are rearing. They give color and form to the whole building. If we think truly, we're rearing a fabric whiter than marble. If our thoughts are evil, the fabric that is rising within us is blemished. The inner and outer life will always correspond in the end. A bad heart will work to the surface. If a man's life is righteous, you know his thoughts are just. Unjust thoughts will never yield righteousness and conduct. Thoughts seem mere nothing. Flecks of clouds flying through the air, flocks of birds flitting by and gone. But they're the most real things about our lives. Our thoughts fly out like birds and take their place in the world. Then our heart is filled their home nest, whither they will return at last to dwell. Today, friends, we are what we think. We cannot rise any higher than our thoughts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Two of the verses there in Psalm 119 mentions one word, meditation. Now, there is a religion today called Transcendental Meditation, TM. It's where people get off by themselves and think and think and think and think. My friend, we need to thank God today. T-H-A-N-K. We need to thank God this morning for such a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life a ransom for many. And we need to think about Him. We need to love Him today.
with all their heart, soul, man, and strength. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What do we meditate on? What do we think about? How is our thought life today? Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 3, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We need to think soberly. Isaiah told us to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How is our thought life today? I would like for us to say with David the psalmist in the 139th Psalm, search me, O God. Not search my neighbor or the one sitting next to me in this service. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love that verse there in John 10:28 that Brother Ray mentioned. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We have a wonderful Savior today. I would like for the searchlight of God to shine in every one of our hearts today, in our minds, and cause us to say, with the psalmist again in Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord help us to think high thoughts. I told you all about when I was chaplain on call down here at the hospital one week, one Sunday morning after church, we were driving home, and the beeper came on and said, someone needs you at the hospital. So I got about to eat and came back to the hospital over here and walked into a room, and this fellow told me, I cannot control my thinking. I cannot control my thinking. You know what thoughts are just like ridges on a piece of ground that we're plowing. If we let a thought run through our mind, it, as it were, just plows a furrow through our brain. We need to watch our thoughts. Our thoughts need to be high thoughts. Thoughts that God would have us to think. When we speak, our mind is on parade. How should we think? What should we think? We find here in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. We'd like to read verses 6, 7, and 8, and also verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. How is our thought life? I believe a lot of times that we do not do as verse 6 says here in Philippians 4. Don't be anxious about anything. Be careful for nothing. I know Brother Hogue mentioned some of these things during our revival this past week. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Let your requests be made known to God. And God's peace, the peace of God shall, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Joshua 1:8 tells us, before we get into especially verse 8 here, this verse says, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to meditate in the Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I praise the Lord today for Philippians 4:8. I believe that this verse, the things that we are to think on, is a good picture of Jesus. Look what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus did. There is no truer person today than Jesus. Now, I today would like to encourage each one of us to think about Jesus. To think about Him. He has done so much for us. Jesus is truth. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. The Bible tells us to walk honestly toward them that are without, that we may have lack of nothing. Jesus was honest. Jesus was true. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. This morning in our Sunday school class, we had a verse in Romans, the third chapter, and verse 26. It says this, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus, it says about Him, He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. What are we to think on? Whatsoever things are just. And Jesus is just. Someday when all Christians stand at the judgment seat of Christ, He is going to give us a righteous judgment. Not whether we're saved or lost. That happened when we trusted Him. We'll stand there for the deeds that we've done since we've been saved. And we'll get a righteous judgment. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then it says, whatsoever things are pure. You know, there are three words in the Bible right together. It says, keep thyself pure. In fact, Jesus said to be ye holy, for I am holy. I read in the Daily Bread recently, it said this, many people are like vultures in their thought life. They seem to be continually on the lookout for the base and the sordid elements of this world. They relish the sinful, the corrupt, and the immoral. the books that appeal to them, the magazines they buy, the pursuits they follow for pleasure, and the television programs they choose indicate a vulture-like appetite. As a result, their thoughts are centered on the impure. Paul said to the Philippian church here, whatsoever things are pure. I tell you, our thoughts today can lift us to the heights of heaven. Have you ever thought of what a place heaven's going to be? There's going to be nothing there that's impure. It's going to be a perfect place. And we're going to be perfect. Down here, we're not perfect, except in Jesus. And I thank God we are perfect in Him. The Bible says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, and we are perfect in Him. His righteousness is wrapped around us spiritually. And we have on that robe of righteousness today. As it tells us in Revelation, when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, it says the church is going to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Well, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Whatsoever things are pure. There was not a sin in Jesus. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was pure. This describes who Jesus is. And this is who we need to think about today. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure. This next one is lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16 says, He is altogether lovely. Whom having not seen, ye love. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is today. Whatsoever things are lovely, may we keep our mind today out of the gutter. Whatsoever things are lovely, pure, holy, just. And then Paul says, whatsoever things are of good report. And he ends verse 8 with this word, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Think on these things. Talking about Jesus. How is their thought life? Brother Combs, his wife, loved the song. And she still loves that song, I believe, deep down in her heart. Thank God for Ms. Combs today. The song says, Higher Ground. I've gone there to their home, and I used to eat dinner with them every Friday. She'd fix Brother Combs and myself dinner after we taught two or three homebound classes. And I'd see her songbook there opened up on the piano. Page 304. I believe that's the title of the number of that song. Yes, Higher Ground. We're going to sing that song tonight in the evening service. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Our thought life, we need to think. We don't need to think highly of ourselves, but we need to think high thoughts. Thoughts about God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. How is our thought life today? God help us to think. The thoughts that would bring honor and glory to the wonderful Lord. The mind is like a crowded street where phantom thoughts like people meet. Some hard at work, some idle are. Some stay at home, some wander far. Some thoughts wield power that ever lives, a power that inspiration gives. While others dwell with us a while, then pass as transit as a smile. Thus come and go these thoughts of ours, some perfume-laden as the flowers, while others steer our lives with blight and bring no pleasure or delight. Our thinking lifts us to the stars or seals our hearts with prison bars, confers on us both joy and strife.